Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 37. Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 37. Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 37 reads this way. It says, "And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people. Lord, knowing that you have a desire and a will to build your church for your honor and glory. And so, Lord, we also ask you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that you might fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that we would hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that we would allow you to do the work that you wish to do in our lives, that we might understand to a greater degree of what you mean by abiding in you and you abiding in us, Lord, that you might bear your fruit. So bless your word, bless us, your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, All Men Seek for Thee. All men seek for thee. Now, all the men that were here in this particular area, they were seeking for the Lord. And so tonight we want to consider four reasons, and only four. There are many, many more reasons or truths, really, as to why people seek the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are also those of an idea that there's no God to seek. The faith that we have is a blind faith. You ever heard that? Christianity is a blind faith. No. A blind faith causes young men to drive airplanes into tall buildings. Amen? But listen, we don't have a blind faith. We have a faith that is built upon the truths and the promises of God. And so I want you to consider, what is it that people were seeing Jesus do? Because it's the same thing that God wants to do in your life and mine today. We don't have a blind faith. We have a substantiated faith on the truths of God's word. That's the foundation. That's the pillar. God has opened up our eyes to see, first of all, our need, our personal need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We didn't just say one day, oh, you know what, today I think I'm going to become a Christian. You know, I think that's maybe a noble thing to do, a good thing to do, an honorable, whatever it might be. But that's not the reason why we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. God caught our attention one way or the other through the Word of God and allowed us to understand and see our need to know Him as our personal Savior because of the work that He did to our understanding and to our reasoning and to His revelation that He has given to each and every child of God. So we don't have a truth that's a blind faith. That's a very dangerous thing. But it's substantiated and it's built upon the truths of God's word and what he is doing and wants to do in each and every one of our lives. So let's consider four reasons or truths as to why really people, believers, let me just say that, really seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21, if you'll back up with me there, and we'll find an astonishing doctrine with authority. So notice verse 21, it says this, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught." So this is the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. "And they were astonished," those that were there, "at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." So this is an astonishing doctrine that the Lord was presenting. And by the way, let me ask you this question. Was he presenting something new outside of the Word of God? Not a bit. But what was the difference? It was Christ in his word. It was God that quickened the word of God in our hearts and minds to understand what he was trying to say, and not as the scribes that sometimes contradicted themselves. They were good at interpreting laws maybe that favored them and kind of put a burden on other people that they weren't willing to lift and cause this great weight on people that the Lord wants to really liberate us from. And so notice what happened. Happens right here in verse 23. "And listen, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." So first I want you to take notice that these people were astonished at the doctrine and the authority, that the power of God that he taught with. So when we stop and think about the authority of God, do you think anybody ever doubted who John the Baptist was? They knew, didn't they? They knew this. In fact, you remember the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious crowd? They were afraid to say that he, you know, who do you say John is? And they were afraid to answer because if they said he was not a prophet, they were afraid the people would stone him. But if they said he was a prophet of God, then the Lord would have said to them, and they reasoned all this out in their minds. He would have said, then why didn't you believe him? See, so they were caught in the middle. Listen, those who reject the truth will always get caught flat-footed, off guard, because the truth is what sets us free. And so the Lord was proclaiming this word greater than any prophet ever preached it, and the people knew it. But not only that, not only did they believe because of the astonishing doctrine with authority that the Lord taught with, but also we find here the witness of changed lives. Have you ever heard of somebody getting saved and their lives been changed? Is that something that happens? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? We can give a test to our own personal witness that the Lord has changed my way of thinking. My purpose in life was turned on its head when I trusted the Lord as my Savior. You know what I thought? You know what I thought the world was all about before I got saved? Me. Is that what you said, brother?
Yes.
Me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I didn't have to tell anybody. Everybody could agree with that, right? Before salvation, life was about who? Me. And there was nothing else besides me. And then all of a sudden, when God arrested me with his truth and got my attention, I found out that, you know what? Life is more than the philosophy of the day and age in which I grew up, and that was the boy with the most toys wins. What a lame purpose in life. What an empty, vanity-filled life. I mean, I didn't know Solomon at the time, but what did Solomon? Solomon lived for the things of this world, and he said, all is vanity. He said, boy, I tell you what, I've had it all. And he did, didn't he? And you know what he found out at the end? It was all vanity. Vanity of vanities. It was emptiness. And so we find the witness here of changed lives. Look at verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Well, what does the Lord do? Verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now listen to the testimony, verse 27. And they were all amazed. How many were amazed? I dare say that is a very tangible witness of the glory and grace of God in the life of this individual, wouldn't you? Do you know that you and I also possess, with the Holy Spirit, the ability by the grace of God, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, the opportunity and the ability to testify of the grace of God in our lives as well? How do we do that? Well, by abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us and allowing Christ to bear the fruit of the Spirit in and through us. So when the world comes at you with the flesh and the power of the devil, and we stand fast, unmovable, in the spirit of Christ and the kindness and the gentleness and of love, hey, you know what? What can you do against that? They have to walk away saying, listen, when somebody's unkind and unkind and unkind and somebody's being very kind, the unkind person has to walk away and at least say this, you know what? They never said anything unkind to me. I was the unkind one. Now, whether or not they're okay with that and they can put their head down on the pillow and go to sleep and not be bothered by it, that's something completely different. But the testimony speaks volumes, if not to the individual, at least to everybody else who's witnessing what's going on. So look at verse 27 here. And they were all amazed, inasmuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think everybody in Galilee would say that saw the Lord, that heard the Lord, he was a fraud? Do you think that they would say, oh, listen, he never did anything. No, they wouldn't say that. Now, those that saw it and rejected, they were the religious rulers and those who followed them. But no doubt there were people who saw and believed the truth and were an eyewitness of the change. They saw the work of God. And so we don't have a blind faith. We have a faith in God that works. We see the working power. So be careful. The world is fighting hard in the day and age in which we live. But we don't have a blind faith religion. We have a faith in God that works in our lives and changes our lives. And we can grow. Does it not? How many times grow in the grace of God that you might be able to walk in the peace of God? All these things that we can experience on a daily basis that we might have the testimony in spite. Listen, were there people that said that the Lord Jesus Christ in his day and age was a fraud? Absolutely. And they had him crucified. But was that the truth? No, they were blinded. They rejected the truth. And let's not be amongst those. Are there people today that reject the truth? Are there people today that would say, you have a blind faith? Or how about this one? You heard this one? Christianity is a crutch. Says who? The one that has no idea of what Christianity is all about other than their presuppositions because they reject and cannot hear and cannot see what God is saying? The world, listen, I was blind, but now I see. You and I, by the grace of God, have been given sight that the lost man has none of. You and I have been given an inside look at the grace of God by his salvation imparted to your life and mine. And then he says, listen, that's supposed to grow. And by the way, listen, you're to feed upon the word of God and you're to trust the word of God and to walk by trusting in the word of God or placing our faith in the word of God that he's going to perform that which he's promised in your life and mine. That's faith. Listen, that's more important to you and me as an individual believer than anything anybody else can be doing. Because if the faith of God is not building our faith and working, actively working in our life, we are failing the Lord. We are not, you and I have been given at least one talent, and that's faith in the grace of God through salvation. Are you saved tonight? Let's try that again. Are you saved tonight by the grace of God? Was that something that you just kind of made up in your mind? Or did God give you conviction and you see your need and he saved you? And if he saved you, then all of the other promises are for you too and me. But here's the question. Do we believe them? God's not a liar. He's promised those things to us. And so here's how we receive them. Lord, today, thank you, God, that you've given those. See, how about this? Here's salvation. Ready? Oh, I see the truth. Jesus Christ died on the cross. I'm going to pray, Jesus, would you die for me? Has that person received grace? How about this person? Lord, I see the truth. I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins. Do you see the difference? See, one person says, you still have to do it. The other person says, you've already done it. Let me ask you a question. Have all of the promise of God to every believer for all times, has that already been purchased for them? God doesn't divvy that out by increments. The moment you got saved, you became a joint heir and had possession of all of those promises. The question is, do we believe that? See, listen, you and me need to zero in and focus in on what God has given to us. Amen? And take full possession and allow God to multiply it and cause it to bear much fruit and more fruit and much fruit in our lives for his honor and glory. That is more important. Listen, that, by the way, that is what you and I are accountable. You and me cannot be accountable for anybody else receiving the promises of God but ourselves. Here's the witness. If we receive it for ourselves, everybody else will see it. If we will receive what God has promised for ourselves and walk in that and take possession of those promises by the grace of God, believing he's already given that to us, and walk in that faith or that trust, everybody else, didn't we just read that? They all saw, they were all amazed. How many people received the cleansing? Just one. But it affected everybody else, didn't they? To see the truth. And so verse 28, one more time, it says this, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee because of what the Lord was doing. The fame of the Lord Jesus Christ will spread even in our day and age by what he is doing and wants to do in your life and mine. Let's not wait for him to do, oh, we're just waiting for a revival for something to happen in somebody else's life. No. He's given to us precious promises to walk in truths today. That we might be blessed, that our cup runs over into the lives of other people, fills our lives up first, runs over into other people's lives, and then we'll see revival. Amen? When people start seeing, my goodness, God is doing a work amongst his own people. Say what you will, but my goodness, it looks real to me. I can see some things taking place that I've never seen before. Listen, do you know the world is probably, I'm not going to say it's not as dark as it's ever been, because there was a flood one time when it was pretty dark. We don't know how dark that world was. It was pretty dark. But I will tell you this, the darker the world, the easier the light shines. All we need to do is stop covering the light with unbelief and say, God, Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief to walk in your truths. Next thing here, we find the witness of healed lives. Look at verse 29. And forthwith, do you know what that word forthwith means? Right away, amen? You knew what that meant. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Did you see that? Why would they tell him? Well, they were just watching what he was doing. So they said, Lord, you know, she's not feeling well. We've seen what you've been doing here. Lord, we want you to know she needs your help. Amen? It's a sad shame for God's people not to point people to where the help's at. Maybe it's because we're not seeing the Lord helping us. Amen? Maybe we're not involved in what the Lord's doing as he would have us to, so that we'd say, Lord, we've got people to bring to you. And so he says, listen, she's not in a good way. Verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. How fast? And she ministered unto them. Man, that's a healing. Wouldn't you like to be healed like that? There you are, you're sick in bed. You know what it's like to be sick in bed. If you weren't that sick, you wouldn't be in bed, right? But when you're sick in bed, that means like I got no more gas, amen? I can't go anymore. I need my rest. The Lord took her by the hand, I think, at that moment that he touched her. Don't you? Yeah. Picked her up. And she's like, wow, let me take care of dinner. Amen. Let me minister to you guys. So here we find the witness of healed lives. Question, did the disciples see that? Did that cause them to lose faith in Christ or gain faith in Christ? Did they see something? Oh, you mean it wasn't nothing happened? You mean something happened that they saw that built their faith? I thought we have a blind faith. I thought we don't see anything. I thought we just believe in hocus pocus. No, that's evolution. They weren't there for nothing to take place. By the way, nothing ever takes place. And then all of a sudden they say, nothing exploded, and here we are. And everything, oh no, no, wait, I'm sorry. There was primordial soup, and you were developing. You were an amoeba, and then all of a sudden you had half a lung, half a pancreas, maybe one-fourth, you know, of a heart, and you just were able to survive without it functioning right. Man, I tell you what, I don't have enough faith to believe in that, do you? I think that they're lost and they're grasping at straws that will never hold them up to defy and reject the loving and mighty God who gave us his son. And so she ministered unto them. And then notice this, as we consider the last thought right here, and that is the witness of those that followed the Lord. Look at verse 32 here. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and all them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered there together at the door. So you tell me all these people didn't see anything and just decided to gather at the door where the Lord was at. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that ridiculous? For no reason at all, we didn't see anything. Hey, let's get everybody to go that needs help. No, that's not what happened. And verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. The Lord's our example. You know, maybe we as the church should make some time to get up before daybreak. You don't have to get up at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock because that was a great while before daylight. Maybe 4 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock, maybe 15 minutes before I really have to get up and start my day and say, oh God, today I need you. Today that I might trust you more than yesterday and walk in your grace. And so he gets up to pray, verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Verse 37, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Why? Why were they seeking for the Lord? I think they had seen some things, don't you? I think they'd seen some things that they liked about the Lord. And they said, we need the Lord. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore I came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. We don't have a blind faith. All men wouldn't seek for that. We have a faith that's been substantiated by the grace of God. And so tonight, God reminds us, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe that? Do you believe an infinite God can teach little old me, a finite being, new things that I don't know about? I think so. I think my God knows more than I'll ever know. How about you? Even when we have the mind of Christ, won't he know more than we'll ever know? Isn't that amazing? And that God that gave us his son says, you call on me because I love you. And I'll show you because I love you. You, as my child, I want you to have these promises. Amen? Let's pray as we break off for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the encouragement that it brings. Lord, may we not listen to the lies of the devil and those who don't know you. May we realize, Lord, that you have given to us a faith because you opened up our eyes, our understanding, to see our need of you as our Savior. And Lord, all the different blessings that we can count that you have been involved, that you have orchestrated in our lives, may we never forget them. And may we, Lord, understand that you have this continually for us on a daily basis. May we seek you in that. May we desire to abide in you, that you might bring us to the place of worship and awe of who you are and want to be in our lives. Lord, as we break off for prayer, we ask that you would continue to bless and draw our hearts close to you and to one another, and we'll give you all the praise and all the thanks, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.